Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You are always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday at 9:15 and again at 11 a.m. Today's gospel reading comes from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 17 through 27. In today's sermon titled Mirror, Mirror, Reverend David Williams reflects on how we should see and love others just as God sees and loves them.
We have all been gifted with self-awareness. It's one of the things that makes us human. It's one of the things that allows us to stand as free beings in God's creation. But with that freedom, with that awareness of ourselves, there are challenges. We easily focus only on self and become so absorbed in ourselves that we don't notice the creation around us, and we don't really notice the other souls that inhabit it. That is the heart of human sin and the heart of our brokenness as we try to live together. As we come before God in worship this morning, let's remember that and acknowledge it by sharing together in our prayer of confession. Please join with me. Gracious and loving God, around us are other souls, other human beings. Each of them is unique and a special part of your creation. But instead of seeing them as they are and loving them as you love them, we see only what we want to see. We see only the shadow of them we have made in our minds. And from that shadow, we act in ways that do not manifest your love or your grace. Forgive us, gracious one, for our lack of vision. In Christ's name, please forgive us. Amen. Hear now the assurance of pardon. Hear the good news. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save us. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Our third scripture reading today is drawn from the letter of James. I'll be reading from James chapter 1, verses 17 through 27. That's James 1, 17 through 27. You can find that on page 229 of your pew New Testament. Let's listen again for God's holy word. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourself of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your soul. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror. For they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father, is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Mirrors, or so the saying goes, cannot lie. This is unsurprising. Mirrors are inanimate objects. They lie not easily. Mirrors are remarkably simple things, just reflective objects we found mounted on the walls and in the bathrooms of our houses, and they're typically made of glass, coated with some reflective material like silver or aluminum, and then painted with substances that help it cling there. It's an object that does a simple, straightforward thing. It just reflects, bouncing back light, typically around 80% of the light it receives. Outside of not being entirely perfect in reflecting light, mirrors themselves don't lie. They show us exactly what's reflected off of them, which should mean we see that. But we don't. Even if that mirror is an industrial-grade mirror, capable of returning 99% of the light it receives, that mirror, that object, can do absolutely nothing about the eye and the mind that observes that light. Animals, for instance, have trouble with mirrors. What the animal sees, what a non-sentient creature sees in a mirror, is another animal, if it pays any attention to it at all. Years ago, I was reminded of this when I was organizing a conference. It was a board meeting, a gathering of very important people who were meeting in a very important place to discuss very important things. And I don't remember a single one of the very important things that were discussed that day. Not one of them, because mostly what I remember was a bird outside. It was a cardinal letting me know that the windows in the conference room I had carefully selected were reflective on the outside. For that entire long afternoon of important planning and discussion, that cardinal pounded itself again and again and again on the windows of the meeting room so that all of the very important people could only think about this bird hammering itself against the window over and over again. What that male cardinal saw as it shed red feathers repeatedly on that window was both a true thing and a false thing. It saw in the mirror another cardinal who had to be driven off from territory. And what it saw was false. There was actually no surprisingly hard enemy cardinal to be fought all day long there. We are better than that bird. We are self-aware creatures and we are proud of it. We, along with chimps and whales and elephants, know that when we see a reflection, that thing we are seeing is us. And yet, we don't totally see what we see. Human beings do not just see things. We interpret them as we encounter them. We filter everything we encounter through the lenses of our own identity. And so we observe what we wish to observe. Men, when they encounter mirrors, are good at this. When we inadvertently encounter our image in a reflective surface, there is a tendency to notice exactly what we want to notice. I mean, you know, look at that. Look at them guns. Just look at it. We are without question, as we observe ourselves in our physical prime, particularly viewed from the, you know, suck it in, flex a little bit, just a little to the right, perfect. Could be 21, I'm telling you. And over time, finding that perfect angle increasingly requires not the use of mirrors, but the use of Google Earth, but we are nonetheless satisfied that all is well. In my experience, my feminine counterpart seems to have the opposite problem. If you're fed an endless media diet of abusively impossible photoshopped perfection, what you see in a mirror is more often mostly just imperfection, even one that a normal human being wouldn't notice. You're looking and you're healthy and you're strong and you're smart, and what you see is, oh, right there under the arm, you know, that bit of skin that wasn't there just a couple of years ago, you know, and I can't tone it down. It must be the beginnings of, what's that, red in Cosmo in the dentist's office, a bat wing. It must be that. And that becomes the only thing you see, that insignificant imperfection that not another soul on the earth actually notices. Of course, if men were aware of the concept of bat wings, we'd probably view it as an asset. I am Batman, you know? Even faced with ourselves, we have trouble seeing who we actually are. And from that difficulty, seeing who we actually are, we have difficulty being who God wants us to be. The book of James is all about that. It is all about what we see, and from there, our being and our doing. This letter is more like an essay or a sequence of essays that establish the most essential nature of what it means to be and do the Christian thing. It is the essence of the Christian ethical and moral life. This letter has been traditionally attributed to James, the brother of Jesus, and it is probably that. Amazingly enough, if you read contemporary Bible scholarship, most people think, you know, this very, very Jewish book in the New Testament was probably written by a Jew. It may as well have been James. Surprise, surprise. What this book is, besides being the most practical rubber meets the road book in the New Testament, what this book is a book of wisdom. As wisdom literature, it concerns itself mainly with how we human beings should act if we're going to get along in the world. Wisdom teachings are found all throughout the Bible. If we go back to the Old Testament, we encounter them in Proverbs, in a number of the Psalms, including the Psalm that we read today. We encounter it in more complex forms in Ecclesiastes and in Job. These books teach the basics of how to live, and particularly how to live so that you are playing well with others and doing all right for yourself. They teach thrift and foresight and patience. They teach that life is to be enjoyed and that the best sustained enjoyment is found in a moderate and balanced life. They also teach that the wise should not speak without careful self-reflection and examination, considering the impact of the words that they say before they come popping out of their mouths or before they're texted to a friend. They teach about the balance between human power and human liberty. And that balance, at least as the classical wisdom literature teaches it, lies in respecting what power can do in the world, and particularly respecting the power of those in authority, the power of the king. If you lived in the ancient world, there was a reason, a very good reason, to be careful with your speech. That reason was that if you were not careful, and you were not circumspect, and you offended someone in power, you could end up dying in some surprisingly creative ways. James doesn't approach it quite that way. James takes that classical wisdom teaching about respecting the power of authority and spins it a little differently, baptizes it, if you will. Throughout his writing, he describes the relationship of Christians to something he calls, alternately, the royal law as we heard in verse 25 of the reading today, and also at the same time, the law of liberty. That law James defines in verse 8 of chapter 2. That law is simply that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. That is the royal law and the law that gives us freedom. The royal law for those who claim God as the only true authority is the law of love. The core of the Christ-centered practical wisdom in James is that you have to live that out. You cannot claim to be truly compassionate unless that compassion manifests itself, is expressed, is acted upon and acted out in your life. And here, as creatures to be governed by wisdom, we human beings encounter a challenge. Our view of ourselves can easily be distorted. Distorted by a narcissistic ego, or warped and poisoned by the dark narcissus of depression and self-loathing. So our image of ourselves often is not who we actually are. But we don't just struggle with having a realistic image of self. Those same interpretive lenses that make it so hard for us to come to terms with who we are make it doubly hard for us to see the reality of the people around us. I mean, you think it would be easy. There they are, right in front of us. We should be able to see them as clear as day. And yet, more often than not, what we see in them is not what they really are, but something that has much more to do with us than it has to do with them. We see them as a projection, as an idol we make with our own hands, and not as the actual being, the real creature that was created by the same maker who formed and shaped and loves us. As self-aware, as sentient as we claim to be, we humans often deal with the beings around us as clumsily and as painfully as if we were a cardinal outside a window, spending all of its energy attacking an image of itself, struggling all day long with something that it doesn't really understand. Into this awkward reality of the human condition, James tells us that we should not be like those who are incapable of real self-examination in a mirror, who look at themselves, who encounter themselves and take nothing away, forgetting the moment their eyes are turned aside and maybe not realizing it at all. The truth of a wise existence, James tells us, is that the deepest possible truth of reality is God's love. And that we need to see ourselves and to see everyone around us in that reflection. More importantly, we need to make sure that our every action, our every moment, our every deed is governed by what we see in that love. And we may struggle to see it, but that doesn't mean that we shouldn't. We need to look harder for it, to embrace the movement of the Spirit in us that allows us to see in that light, embracing the movement of that Spirit that guides us when we find ourselves struggling and forgetting and only seeing the things we have made. Human beings are great at self-deception. We are wonderful at looking right into a mirror and not seeing ourselves, and even better, at looking at others and not seeing them at all. But in the truth that is God's nature and the truth that is God's love, we can and will find both who we are and who others are. Our call is to turn our hearts and our minds towards seeing that reality, and our hands towards living that reality. That is the essence of wisdom. It is the heart of grace. It's who we are called to be. Let it be so, for you and for me. Amen. Ours is a very practical faith. Our faith following Jesus has everything to do with how we actually live. And so, this week I would ask, who is it that you do not really see? It might be yourself. You might not have a good understanding of who you are. It might be clouded with doubts or angers or depression or regret. But there is probably out there someone else. Someone you encounter through the lenses of sadness or anger. Try to see that person in all of their joyous possibilities. See that person as God sees them this week. And don't just see them that way. Act towards them in such a way that they know that's how you're seeing. That is the law that needs to govern how we relate to one another. That is the law that sets us free. Go out this week and let it guide you. Because that is what we are called to be as followers of Christ. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us for today and for tomorrow and for the rest of our lives. Amen.